We'll return it again to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's the opening 8 verses that we've been asked to consider. This has been a favourite text that has been handed in. And I must confess it's one of my favourites also. So great joy was mine to be able to consider these great words through the week. Let's take God's help in prayer. Father, we pray for help now as we come for the preaching of thy word. We have read these precious words. And we ask, Lord, that thou would come now and write them upon our hearts. We think of oftentimes when the Savior spoke to the great crowds that were before him, how often he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, we pray for hearing ears this afternoon. Let us truly hear the word of God. And far beyond the voice of the preacher, may it be the voice of our Holy Spirit and the Spirit. And may we be instructed in the things of Christ. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, these opening 8 verses give us some reasons why we should rejoice as Christians. There's something that we all do, whether young or old, the doctors tell us is good medicine for us, that it relieves stress, and it's laughter. They tell us that laughter is good for you, that it's healthy. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, knew that. He said in Proverbs 17 and verse 22 that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But I'm sure you're all aware that there are times when we just don't feel like laughing. The reason that we laugh, generally speaking, is because something makes us happy. But we can't always be happy. But for the Christian, there is a delight, a gladness of heart that goes above and beyond mere happiness. We call it joy. And there's a tremendous difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Happiness depends upon outward circumstances, whereas joy depends upon our inward character. Happiness depends upon what happens to you, whereas joy depends upon what happens within us. Happiness is based upon chance, and joy is based upon choice. In Psalm 118 and verse 24, the psalmist said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Our English word happiness comes from the old English word hap, H-A-P-P, which literally means chance. It corresponds with the Latin word fortuna, which simply means luck or fortune. You see, if things happen the way we want them to happen, then we are happy. But if things don't happen the way that we want them, we are unhappy. And happiness, therefore, by its very nature, is temporary. It's fickle. Joy, however, is permanent and well settled. One of the greatest and perhaps one of the most attractive qualities that a church or a Christian can have is that of joy. Oh, how good it would be to be known as a fellowship of joy, a place filled with Christians who know something of the joy of the Lord. The world has an idea in its mind concerning Christians that a caricature in some ways the Christians are primarily purveyors of doom and gloom. We are prophets of sadness and sorrow, and we condemn any kind of fun as being sinful. I came across an illustration that gave the definition of a Puritan as being one who suffers from the overwhelming dread that somewhere, sometime, somehow, someone may be enjoying themselves. And that's as far removed from the definition of a Christian as we can possibly imagine. Christianity is to be nothing less than a festival of joy. Joy is the business of heaven. We should be in joy. We should be full of joy at all times. The word joy and joyful are found in the scriptures 250 odd times. The word rejoice is used another 200 times. So over 450 times in the Word of God, we are told to be joyful and to rejoice. And I believe that when we find ourselves in the presence of God, it's going to be full of joy. That's what the psalmist said. In His presence is fullness of joy. That's why David could say in Psalm 5, let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. I tell you something, that to be a joyless Christian is a slander against the Lord Jesus Christ. The evangelist Billy Sundays put it rightly when he said that if you have no joy in your religion, then you've got a leak in your Christianity. We ought to be joyful. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 11? Why He taught what He taught to His disciples. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, I'm giving you My joy so that your joy might be full. You see, when we have Christ, we get joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, Paul said. Now, what is there as Christians that we have to be joyful about? Well, Peter gives us some reasons. He tells us, first of all, in verse 2, that there is joy in salvation. He says we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That is, we have been chosen to be part of the family of God. Furthermore, he says a little bit later in the chapter, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There is no greater joy than being saved. I think of the disciples sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ into the villages round about to preach His word, and they come back all high and giddy, that even the spirits, the demons, were subject unto us. You know what the Lord Jesus said to them? Rejoice not in these things. Don't rejoice that those spirits were subject to you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. That's where our joy is to be found. In our salvation. That our names are scribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. that they are recorded upon that citizen roll of heaven. There is no greater joy known to mankind than the joy of being saved, to be delivered from our sins, from the judgment that's to come, from all that offends God, to be delivered from it and brought in salvation into the kingdom of God. There is no greater joy. Isaiah said in chapter 12 and verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. There are two words in our Bible that are first cousins. The words joy and grace. The Greek word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A. And the Greek word for grace is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. They come from the same root. Because the grace of God always produces the joy of God. Grace is the root of our salvation. Joy is the fruit of our salvation. Have you ever stopped to think of what the Lord has done for us? Of the benefits that come to us because God, in His mercy and grace, has elected to save us. I jotted down a few of the things that we have to be thankful for. We can be thankful that all of our sins have been forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are now part of the family of God. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We are now guaranteed a home in heaven. We read of that. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. We have the promise of God's Holy Spirit abiding within us. We are now the temple of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has given unto us eternal life. There are none that can pluck us out of His hand. We have His promise that He works all things according to our good. We have the assurance that God hears our prayers. We have the promise that when this life is over for us, that it's absent from the body, present with the Lord, that we will spend all eternity with our Savior. These things and many more ought to start the joy bells ringing in our heart. There is joy in the salvation of God. But Peter doesn't finish there. Not only do we have joy in salvation, but we have joy in sanctification. Because after salvation, after our justification, there's sanctification. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. Not only are we saved by God and His elect purposes, but we are elect through sanctification of the Spirit. Not only is there joy in being saved, but there is joy in living like it. Now, I want to say something about salvation and how it's related to our sanctification. And to remind you that there is no one that can rob you of your salvation. Ours is an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That cannot be changed. Christ has made the reservation by His death on our behalf. No one and nothing can change that. No one can rob you of your salvation. But there is someone and there is something that can rob you of the joy of your salvation. And that someone is yourself, and that something is your sin. Sorrow cannot rob us of the joy of salvation. Sickness cannot rob us of our joy. Suffering cannot rob us of that joy. The only thing that can rob us of the joy of our salvation is our sin. Sin robs us of the joy of salvation. Our own sin. When David finally got round to confessing his great sin with Bathsheba and pleaded with God for forgiveness, he said in Psalm 51 and verse 12, he pleaded with God, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Notice he didn't ask that God restore unto him his salvation. That was secure. But he's lost the joy of it. Sorrow follows sin just as surely as night follows day. And if we are engaged in sin, we are bound to suffer and we will lose the joy of our salvation. It's the first thing that we lose. As soon as we allow sin in through the door of our heart, out through the window goes our joy in Christ. There needs to be a sanctification, a holiness. There's joy in holiness, in seeking the things of Christ, in forsaking the things of the world and of sin. They bring us no joy. They bring only bitterness and sorrow. We lose the joy of our salvation when we sin. Therefore, we must seek the things of sanctification, of holiness before God. And there we find joy. The joy of sanctification. There's joy in salvation. There's joy in sanctification. There's joy to be found in service. Again, we're looking at verse 2, where we find that salvation and sanctification automatically leads on to service. Peter says, not only are we elect, not only are we to be sanctified, but we have been sanctified unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Could it be that the reason that we have little joy in our life is because we are not serving God the way we should be? We're not doing anything for the Lord. We have been saved unto obedience. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said, "I cannot be happy unless I am doing something for God." Now the Lord Jesus told his disciples in John 15 that "I am the vine and ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." A healthy tree will be a fruit-bearing tree. A healthy tree will be one that's doing what a tree ought to be doing, which is bearing fruit. And the same is true of a Christian. If we are healthy Christians, saved and sanctified, we will bring forth fruit for the glory of His name. Our service will be joyful. There's joy in being saved. There's joy in being sanctified. There's joy in serving God. There's joy in our sufferings. That runs contrary to what the world will tell us, but yet the scriptures affirm again and again. Peter says in verse 6, he's talking about the testing of our faith. He says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." In the testing of our faith, we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, even in suffering. I hold my hand up. This is difficult to explain. It's hard to understand, but the light of God's joy shines even in the midst of the darkness of suffering. You read through the scriptures and you will find that this is a most common experience for disciples throughout every generation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 4, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. James said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, into manifold trials. I like what one old preacher said. He said, joy can swim in the stormy seas of suffering long after happiness has drowned. You see, we have a joy that can't be taken away from us because of the things that happen to us. Our happiness, people. Our happiness relating to our outward circumstances, but we have an inward joy. We have a joy that can't be taken away. Dr. R.A. Torrey, one of the great Bible teachers of the last century, spoke of the time when he and his wife went through a time of great heartache. Their 12-year-old daughter was accidentally killed. The funeral was held on a gloomy, miserable, rainy day. They stood around the graveside and watched as the coffin that carried that precious little girl to them was lowered into the ground. And as they turned away, his wife said to him, I'm so glad that our Elizabeth is with the Lord and not in that old box. And even though he knew that was true, yet their hearts were broken. And he said that the next day he just went out walking by himself, and the grief that he felt was so overwhelming that even as he was walking down the street, his heart broke all over again. He thought of the loneliness of the years ahead without the presence of their daughter with them. He thought about the heartache of an empty home and all of the other painful memories that they had. And he was so burdened by this. He says that he looked up into the heavens and he asked God to help him. And by his own words he said, just at that moment, this fountain, the Holy Spirit that I had in my heart, broke forth with such power as I think I have never experienced before. And it was the most joyful moment I have ever known in my life. There's joy even in suffering. An unspeakable, glorious thing to have Christ in our hearts. That nothing, not even the loss of dear loved ones, can take away from us. We have a fountain springing up within us 365 days of the year. Fountains of living water that are flowing under all circumstances unto everlasting life. The world can take many things from you. They can take your possessions. They can take your loved ones. They can take your health. One possession that it cannot take from you is the eternal life that Christ gives to his people. Even sufferings cannot rob us of the joy of knowing God. We have joy in salvation. We have joy in sanctification. We have joy in service. We have joy even in sorrow. One last thing that Peter says that we have joy in. In verses 7 through to 9, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We have joy in the second coming of our Lord, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We have joy in the knowledge that one day we will see the Lord of glory returning in all his power, and that we will be with him. It will be worth it all, the hymn writer says, when we see Jesus. Earth's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. We cannot have joy unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know him, and when we know him, we love him. And when we love him, we give our life to him. And he gives to us everlasting joy. We can rejoice in the Lord in every place and under every circumstance and in every situation, for we are eternally saved by him. He eternally dwells within us. Our eternal life does not begin when we die. It began in the very moment when Christ forgave us and he became Lord of our life. And it is with anticipation that we await for his return, for we shall then have joy in the presence of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, that we might be found joyful at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We have much to be joyful for. May we find and know and experience every day that joy in the Lord. Not a fleeting happiness because things are going well in an earthly sense, but a deep-rooted joy in Christ that we're able to say with the hymn writer, "It is well. It is well with my soul." There's where our joy is found. The being well with our soul. Tell me, is it well with your soul? Do you know anything of this joy of which we've been speaking? If you don't, then we encourage you, we urge you with all of our hearts to seek and find in Christ while we can. Call upon him, he says, while he is near. And know this joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's my prayer. Father, we thank thee again for time spent in thy presence and around thy word. What joy we should have in our hearts when we think of our Savior, what he has done for us, all that he means to us, for the great anticipation of heaven that is before us, of that joy of being ever in the presence of God throughout all eternity. Oh, that we might learn to rejoice because our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we ask our Father that no matter the circumstances of life, no matter the ups and downs that we go through, the winds and the storms that we must pass through, may our hearts be settled upon Christ. May we find our joy in him. And may we be able to express unto others who would ask of us the reason of the hope that lies within us, that we might tell them that we have a wonderful Savior. Oh, that we might point them ever to the Lamb of God and tell them there is to be found eternal joy. Bless us now, we pray. And speak on to our hearts, each and every one, giving cause for every child of God to rejoice in their Savior. Giving thought and concern to those perhaps outside of Christ that they need this joy of which you've been speaking. Lord, by thy Spirit, do that needful work in every heart. We pray in Jesus' name.